Exodus 13, 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leading Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of God.
You've heard me say before, from 1988 to 1992, my family and I were often dodging bullets in Lebanon. For 2.5 of the 4.5 years that we were there, it was either a war with Syria. Lebanon was either in war with Syria or a civil war. And I remember collecting shrapnel and bullet casings as you would collect your baseball cards that you would show to one another. There were many memories and many experiences in those years, but there are often two images that stand out for me. The first one was in the midst of staying in an apartment that could house, that can only hold two people. There was seven of us. And when I would be in the dining room, the living room would be open where my parents would sleep. I would often see at night my mom and dad kneeling over the couch praying. In the midst of having no electricity, running water, shells coming down, that was one image that stuck with me. Another image that stuck with me, and I don't know if it was Lent, if there was a season of Lent, but there was a time where weekly, my mom, my aunt, my sister, and I, we would walk to the nearby Armenian Catholic Church. My mom and her sisters were raised Catholic, and I remember we didn't talk, if it was maybe a Wednesday or Friday, we didn't talk on the way to and from to the service, but I remember we had to go. And on that way, I could hear my mom and aunts recite their prayers. We would walk into the church service, and they would begin going through the rosary. In our journey of life, there are times when we face difficult situations, difficult predicaments, scenarios. You get into a sticky situation, a predicament, a scenario where life is very hard. What do you do? What do you do? My impulsive reaction to a difficult situation, the way I often operate is I stress eat. Tamar always jokes about this, but at 11:30 at night, you will see me in the kitchen. Recently, it's been a lot more with the week to week with the bed rest, just snacking, eating everything and anything in sight. Yes, I know, it doesn't look like I am, but it's true. I often either stress eat or I Netflix binge watch. Don't get me. Don't bother me. I'm stress eating and I'm binge watching. Because that's what I do when my back is up against the wall, when there are things that are kind of difficult in life. I often look to complain, look for a way out. You may even want to press the eject button. Hey, I just physically want to be out of this scenario. It's too hard to bear. You can easily disengage with the phone and watch and get caught up in the fake world of social media. and then start coveting. Oh gosh, look at them. They're on a beach, and here I am stuck in this situation. What do you do? You see, I think our confidence actually begins to lag in the midst of these different kinds of scenarios. Maybe you're in a sticky situation of having made a series of unwise decisions. There's a situation you're in without any of your fault, but now you're facing consequences beyond your control. Perhaps at work you're being impacted from a coworker's failure. To make things better at work, if you say something to relieve the pressure at work, it may make matters worse. Or if you just pick up the slack and try to untangle the situation, it may make someone look bad. You're in a bind. What do you do? Another situation is your adult child who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, has moved out, is too old to discipline, yet being the parent you want them with all your heart to have a relationship with God. You say something, it makes your relationship worse. You don't say anything, it's worse than saying nothing. There's a situation at school or in the home, a relational issue where it just gets difficult to navigate. You're in a bind. What do you do? We desperately often cry out for a miracle. Doesn't it seem like, more often than not, that God allows our backs to the wall or difficult situations to occur to get us to remember last week? Remember? To get us to remember and realize He's God. He's Yahweh. And what? He's got this. Today marks, it's kind of weird, but today marks 7 years that I moved into the office as an associate pastor. And nearly 11 years in ordained ministry. And in the relationships that I've established, there's the occasional question regarding theology. There's an occasional, every now and then I get the question, well, what does this really mean? What does this word mean in the Bible? What does this mean that God's going to occasionally. Do you know what I get most, actually? Is people want confidence. People want courage. People want assurances that in their faith journey in life, in whatever situation they face, people are seeking a cheering section alongside of them, telling them, remember, God's got this. Remember, God's carrying you in your journey. People want this. You know, it's funny, is that, you know, a lot of the times we say, oh, you know, I go to 5 Bible studies and I go to this prayer meeting and to learn more about, we want to learn more about God. We want to have the knowledge of God. You know what? Knowledge of God is actually experiencing that God is carrying us in our journey. In our passage this morning, here's the real cool thing about this. You're actually to the prelude. You're in the beginning. You're in the opening scenes. You haven't seen it yet. It gets into chapter 14 where the Israelites are going to get into a difficult scenario. They're going to have their backs against the wall, and you're going to see how they're going to react. And remember, yet last week we said, remember, how many plagues did God put on Egyptians? Remember? 10, no, it's wrong, 11, actually signs. Plagues are 10, but 11 signs for them to see what? That God's got this. God's the one who's going to do this. Remember, that's the kind of God we have. Wait, beyond the plagues, you know, He walked out of a tomb alive. Yet when the back is against the wall, eject. God's going to be carrying us in the journey of life. So I want to give you some C's. I like alliterations, right? It helps me remember something with the passage. So I want to give you some C's. God's carrying us in our journey of life, but first, remember actually that God cares in this journey. Look at verse 17 and 18. God cares. God understands. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt and armed for battle. You see, God understands our weaknesses. And for the Israelites, it's their mind. Another one is their fear. But no. Us Armenians, we got this, right? We're not scared, right? But God's got it. God cares to help them see beyond. He knows already their weaknesses. He cares for them irregardless of their weakness, not of their PhDs and their masters and their successes in their businesses. God cares for them. He guides them out of Egypt on a longer route so they don't quickly change their minds, so they quickly don't fall into the weakness. His care for the people is expressed because he knows what's for their good. His care for the people is expressed because he knows what's for their good. We often want to function like the independent child, not wanting our own father in heaven. I love that image. We often want to be, stop thinking you're the king of my life. I'm the king of my life. I'm not going to listen. And you don't care for me, really? It goes without saying, God knows we complain. Guaranteed you, you're complaining in your heart maybe right now. Oh, well, I hope this is not going to go long. We complain. We are so quick to forget. He knows we're fearful. He knows we're complaining. He knows, and he's not getting on our case. Actually, he says he cares about them even when they're complaining, even when we're in fear, even when we're forgetful of how he carried you on your last difficulty. You see, last week you had a difficulty. The previous month you had a difficulty. Did you already forget how he cared for you in the minute of that? God cares for us as a whole, even in my weakness. Especially as Armenian men, we do a great job hiding our weakness. I was having a conversation with someone this past week on guilt. I said to the person, I just don't know how I can do it all. I don't know how I'm going to do it all. And I don't know how I'm going to get to this. And I'm on top of that, I have to be a mother and this. And they communicated in the midst of my weakness, reminding me you can't. And to be okay with being weak. Because God's got this. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's caring for us in our journey. So whatever predicament we're facing, remember, God cares. Number two, he's committed to this promise. Remember, we say he cares. He cares enough that he actually sent his own son. You know that? You know that. You've been coming to church for however many years. You've been hearing about it. We're going to celebrate it this morning that his sacrifice on the cross. He cares enough for you for that much, and he's committed. His promise hasn't changed. From the beginning of Scripture all the way to the end, his promise hasn't changed. He loves you. He's going to guide the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. He's committed to this promise. Actually, if you look at it, it says in verse 19, the promise for Joseph's bones are to come out of Egypt. God's plan has always been this. Before time, he's committed to take the people. So what makes you think, if he's committed that Jesus is going to be resurrected, if he's committed to the way he started from before time, what makes you think that he's not committed to loving you until the cross? Till the cross. How quick are we to forget that care? He's got it. He's not wishy-washy. Noah, he promised. Abraham, he promised. David, he promised. Then Jesus in the new covenant, he promised. God's all in for us. All in. So where are we at with it? God's committed to loving. God's committed to caring, guiding, listening, encouraging, setting us straight, rebuking, correcting, blessing us. Committed. where are we in our commitment? We love the blessing. We love the listening. We love the cheering us on, the love on us. But where are we in our commitment? He's committed. In this journey of life, remember, be confident in the God that cares, and he's committed to carrying you. Something that I keep reminding myself every day, and to Tamar, God's carried us through the first one, provided just the amount of right care with Emmy. God's committed to promise that whatever happens in this season, it's for my good and for his glory. It's for your good and for his glory. That's hard to swallow. I'm not saying it's easy, but he's committed. He's going to care. Number three, he's our companion. Now, this one's a fun one because you're like, well, does he just like kind of walk alongside you, you know, whatever, and all that stuff? He's a walking companion. But look at what it says here, verse 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. God is out there and noticeable. He's walking along. He's their companion. I don't know about you, but I often feel like, you know, God, can you rain the pillar of fire on this person, right? You know, you often pray and be like, you know, God, can you just be a cloud and just part the doors to which way I'm supposed to go? You know, God, can you just really bring down your fire of blah, 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 blah on whatever blah, 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 blah? Because, you know, we've prayed that, or I've prayed that. You all are not sinners. But honestly, here's the funny thing. We have it better than the cloud of fire and the pillar. Pillar of fire and cloud of fire, right? We have it better. Get this. We have it better. We often just don't see the cloud because we're following different smoke screens around us. See, if we're walking in this journey of life with Jesus, if I've said, I believe in Jesus in my heart, he lives in my heart, you know what he's done for me, the wrong that I've committed, if I've made that allegiance to Jesus, God has said, I promise you, I've committed to loving and caring for you, so here's my Holy Spirit. Whoa, are you kidding? And look, and it says the Holy Spirit is going to be described as a comforter, as an advocate, someone who's going to walk along, a companion in the things that I face. And not only is he just there kind of when I rub the lamp and he comes in, no, he actually resides in my life, right? He has a home in with me. He's not just secluded to the guest bedroom like what Ariel goes through when he's at the Kushigian's house. No, he's actually getting rain over the whole house. The Holy Spirit gets to be within my whole house. And he actually says, I'm going to go into the junk drawers and clean out the mess. I'm going to go into the room that you hid from Ariel when he came in as a guest. I'm going to go into all these areas in your house, and I'm going to clean up, and I'm going to walk alongside you, and I'm going to care for you. I'm going to carry you, because why? I'm committed to loving you until you see me face to face. Again, the interesting thing about this passage is they haven't even gotten to the difficult part. So I'm prepping you. This is the pep talk before you face a difficult scenario. You see, they haven't even gotten to the Red Sea and come next week in eager anticipation to see the difficult scenario and see how they react. You can read chapter 14. I'm not saying don't read your Bible, but look at how they react because they forget so quickly the God who cares, the God who's committed. The God who announced the 10 plagues is our companion. Is our companion that you get to talk to whenever you want to. Don't these three things alone, that he cares, that he's committed, that he's our companion, don't those things alone kind of go, oh, I can stand a little taller. Because, you know, when the guy who mocks me at work, God, I got the God. I got the God who said with one word, let there be a swarm over Egypt. I got the God who walked out of the tomb. I got the God who lives in my heart and in my body and who gives me the confidence. And whatever so-and-so says about me or whatever so-and-so does, it doesn't matter because he's committed to loving me. He's my companion. So be confident. Well, that was good. Just told us. Be confident in the God who's committed to carrying us. So whose voice are you listening to? What are you hearing? These are my voices. These are my voices. Confession time, right? Another C for you. These are the whispers. You can't handle this situation. You're not doing enough. You're such a wimp when it comes to this stuff. Protect what's rightfully yours at all costs. What do you think you're doing in being sacrificial with that money? Your kids will walk all over you. You need to show them who's boss. These are voices that we often, maybe they aren't like mine, but maybe they are different kind of voices in yours. But I hate weeding. Okay, you all have gardens. Some of you love to weed. You go out there like weekly, you weed like crazy, right? But I hate weeding. And every now and then, Tamar will say, you know, I went to the garden, there's a lot of weeds. Thanks, Hokies, you know, really. You know what that means, like Yanni, you know, you should get out there and you should weed. And the other day I went out there and I did some weeding, not at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but at the right time so I don't get dehydrated and all that. And you get to the, you know what the weeds are like. When you start, you know, taking the weeds, you got to get in there and just got to pull these weeds out. Some of them are really deep down. And some of them choke around, you know, the plant because that's where the water drip is coming and that's where they're growing the most. You see, they're just literally choking the life out of the plant. So I sat there and I weeded for 2 hours. Next morning, next day maybe even, I went out to the garden. What do you think I saw? More weeds, right? You know, not more weeds. But the plant had blossomed. The plant had begun giving more. It had traveled. My watermelon vine had traveled even more. My cucumber plant had started giving its flowers because it was getting choked out by the voices. It's so easy when we listen to those whispers, to those voices, and we can't actually hear the voice that matters because it's getting drowned out by the other voices. Be confident in the God who's committed to carrying us. I've shared this story with our young families, and one of the things that often happened was when my back was up against the wall, when I was in a difficult scenario, I was frustrated with ministry or with life or whatever, I called my best friend. My best friend was Bud Liadajiz Medjian. And he was a minister, and he knew what ministry was like, and he understood fears, decisions. And I started realizing that once I couldn't call him on the phone, God started poking at me and saying, Esar. Now, mind you, we often get into that. We want the companion to talk to, physical presence. We want to confess. We want to share with someone what we are feeling. But this is literally the story and the conviction that God taught me. Mugo, you need to start talking to me more than him. I'm the one who will walk with you forever until we meet face to face. Be confident in the God who's committed to carrying us through this faith journey. You see, we often rely on the outside voices. Life's going great. The success is at home. Park de roche. Knock on wood. Our health. Our business is great. I can't complain. If I complain, who's going to listen to me? These are the things we have. Our previous experiences. The minute those things come out of the picture, boom, our confidence level goes down in the God who said, I'm committed to loving you, carrying you all the way till you see me face to face. And look at that. When they face the Red Sea, look at what they're going to do. Every year's theme for family camp, we've come up with a theme, as I shared in our announcements. And so this year, we're doing a little bit different. We're doing a one-day thing because we notice that some of us don't want to make the commitment to come for the whole weekend, but we put so much thought and investment into this weekend as such a key thing for our community, our family. And so we said we want to design family camp to be one day so that it's not as impactful on your schedules and your weekends and things like that. In addition to that, we want to call it the reality TV show. Because in reality, we're all in different scenarios. We're all in different predicaments, different seasons of life. We all have burdens that we bear. We've got some serious brokenness and bruises. And the reality is, we don't want the community to endure this alone in fear or in confusion or in shame. So whether we are struggling in our parenting, whether, I'm just putting my hand up, you don't have to put your hand up, but I'm just being confessed and be real, because this, you know, whether we are struggling in our parenting, whether we got parents that are aging 3,000 miles away and you can't do anything, whether we are difficulties in our marriages, whether we are floundering in our faith, there is hope in the heavy. The hope is he's our companion. The hope is he's committed to loving you. The hope is he cares for you beyond your eyes and your hearts and your minds can even fathom. And he wants to carry you. You see, go through Scripture and look at all the church examples, all the commandments, a lot of the things. It's not other than solo, but it's all done in the context of a church family, in the context of a community. You can't do this alone, folks. I'm sorry. You walk out the store and say, that was a great message. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do it. You can't do this alone. You could do it in the context of a community. So we want to be praying alongside you. We want to be laughing with you. We want to be crying with you. We want to be caring for you. And as a community, stand with you with whatever you're facing. So anonymously, because I know we don't like putting our names on things, the back of the bulletin. If you took notes, great. If you're not, steal someone else's, or you can grab another one. Or you could say, I'm going to put it on my phone and or a piece of paper is probably more anonymous. And you don't have to put a return address if you really don't want to. Anonymously, if you want to highlight something on the back of this bulletin and then mail it in or even drop it in the slots here for us or put it in the plate here and maybe at the end of the day I'll pick it up. Not maybe, I will pick it up. Sorry. But this is what we're doing. At family retreat, at family camp, that one day, we are going to anonymously go through these things in prayer. We are going to be with you, caring for you. We haven't figured out all the details yet, but stay tuned. But we're going to be going through the reality of our burdens. And we want to be praying. So on the back of your bulletins, and you can fold it up and put it in the mail if you want, answer this. If you only knew, if you only knew that I struggle with love, with loving my wife who always demands more. If you only knew that I get angry when my children push my buttons. If you only knew that I'm scared to speak about Jesus with my friends. If you only knew that I hoard money and struggle with being generous. If you only knew ... Be confident in the God who's committed to carrying us. Be confident in the community who's walking alongside you, who wants to care for you, who wants to carry you with Jesus and be your companion and not a place where we gossip and not a place where we mock each other and when they're floundering. Be confident in the God who's committed to carrying us. Let's pray. Father, as we come to worship you now in communion, thank you for your grace. I'm sorry, Lord, for... Just thank you for your grace. And as we come to worship you in communion, Lord, I pray that you continue to remind us that this table is a reminder of what you've done for us. It's a reminder of what you've done for us. Amen.